Jack McLennan was 27, fit and visibly strong.
He was trained well. He knew how to hit, and I was gobsmacked.
He seemed ready for anything, but then he suddenly vanished.
I was just talking to him last night. Like, how the hell does that happen?
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Wondery Country, I'm Luke Sidham Dunton, and today on The Breakfast Wrap, we're going to look at a growing scandal at the accounting firm KPMG. A whistleblower is claiming that confidential client information has been improperly accessed and shared among partners. It sparked a response from the federal government and at least two states and the Reserve Bank. Today we're going to dive deeper into this story with someone who has blown the whistle on KPMG before.
I think it's terribly sad for the individual involved, and I think it's really indicative of a system that's fundamentally broken when an individual has to throw their life under the train and ultimately has to go to the Senate for its protection.
It's a really fascinating insight into a really interesting story that we've got in our hands. We're going to spend the entire episode looking at this story, and we're going to hear from the politician who first brought these claims to light. From the Radio National Breakfast team, this is The Breakfast Wrap. All right, so you know what the big four banks are. We've got the Commonwealth Bank, the NAB, ANZ and Westpac. But we've also got the big four when it comes to consulting firms, and one of them is KPMG. Right now, it is facing allegations from a whistleblower. They're claiming that the firm's audit partners accessed confidential client documents to win contracts, alleging that it was done improperly and then shared among partners. The allegations were actually made a couple of years ago, but they were made public in March when Labor Senator Deborah O'Neill aired them under parliamentary privilege. You're about to hear from her in just a moment. Now, last week, the firm's CEO, Andrew Yates, and the head of audit, Julian McPherson, resigned amid the allegations. And then this week, Chief Operating Officer Eileen Hoggett also walked out. And now there are governments around the country taking a closer look. The scandal comes just 2 years after KPMG rival PwC was caught leaking confidential government information to colleagues and clients. Now, before we hear from our former whistleblower, a former KPMG partner who raised concerns about a separate previous issue at the firm, let's hear from Labor Senator Deborah O'Neill. We spoke to her on Tuesday, following the resignations at the end of last week. And here's what Sally asked her first.
How significant are these resignations?
Well, they are significant, but we can't be distracted by the resignation as if Mr. Yates stepping away and the head of audit stepping away solves the problem. At the heart of what we're talking about here is a question of trust. KPMG, a multi international, a cross-border, huge entity, they have access to all of the documents of any company when they go into audit. That is part of the deal. And involved in that is a currency of trust. What we have seen alleged by the whistleblower, who was finally called a whistleblower by KPMG just on Friday, is a failure to actually have in place proper probity provisions that are necessary for trust in that sector. So, for example, big company like Lendlease, this audit company, KPMG, did not tell Lendlease that it had gone in and accessed confidential files that it had no entitlement to access. And I guess if they, a company like KPMG can do that to Lendlease, they can do it to anyone. The whistleblower alleges other companies have been treated in a similar fashion. That is Westpac, Dexus, and even Macquarie Bank. Why does all this matter? Once upon a time, there weren't any auditors. And the idea of having an audit was Mr. Price and Mr. Waterhouse went in and said, well, we can't let these people who are building railways come out with fake books because people were just using money. So that's how the auditing profession began. So it is a currency of trust where access to confidential information is provided to an auditor to check and make sure those books and what they project into the public place are accurate.
How does this fit into the bigger picture? Because previously the focus was on PwC and particularly its work with government. KPMG seemed to be positioning itself as a trusted alternative.
And that is part of what's so shocking for me. In 2023, KPMG were in spinning that line, and at the same time they were silencing a whistleblower inside their organisation who was saying, we have some problems with probity here that we need to deal with. And why this matters, not just in terms of a failure of professional capacity, is that every Australian who's working has superannuation. And the people who manage those savings on behalf of all of us rely on the work of auditors to basically be the assurers of truth in the telling of the economic story of the major companies of this country. Now, whether it's retail super or industry super or your own SMSF, or if you're just investing straight up in the market, you rely on accurate information provided by companies so that you can make informed decisions. When big entities like KPMG are found to be breaching trust with some of the largest companies in Australia, it's pretty clear that there's a major failing with the way they're operating under a partnership model and without any transparency in the public place.
Why is this coming up through a whistleblower and the use of parliamentary privilege rather than being caught by regulation and or enforcement?
So ASIC gave evidence to the committee on Friday that their capacity to investigate goes to registered company auditors. They can't actually oversee a partnership, which is what this model of KPMG, PwC, EY, Deloitte, they can't oversee that because that's covered by state legislation. So there's this hidden space, if you will, in which this business model is operating. And they have all the window dressing of being a corporate entity, but none of the responsibility. So they have boards that would appear, for most people who aren't watching very closely, to operate like a normal board. But we've seen with PwC that the board was basically ignored by a powerful CEO. And in this circumstance, we have seen the board still in place, receiving the resignation of the head of audit and of the CEO. But the board clearly must have known what was going on, and they haven't responded in a way to shut this down. I know that the whistleblower was in contact with the board, with the independent directors, with the head of governance from overseas as well as here in Australia, trying every possible way to draw attention to these internal failings. They wanted the company to recognise the problems. And instead of responding to their whistleblower in a way that I'm sure is their public-facing documentation, they try to turn it into a HR problem and to shut the whistleblower down.
And that is Labor Senator Deborah O'Neill, who chairs the Joint Committee on Corporations and Financial Services. We did request an interview with KPMG, but they declined and instead referred us to their statement. The firm says, quote, "Its treatment of a whistleblower and investigation into their allegations fell short of the firm's expectations, those of the whistleblower and the broader community." It also says, quote, "At this point, a board subcommittee, led by the deputy chair and including three independent directors, appointed Allens to conduct a further external legal investigation, which remains ongoing." Now, if I take you back to 2021, Brendan Lyon was a KPMG partner when he blew the whistle on practices at the firm, separate to these allegations. He's now a professor of practice in the Faculty of Business and Law at the University of Wollongong. Our producer, Eddie Diamond, tracked him down during the week, and on Thursday, he spoke to Sally Sara on Radio National Breakfast.
You've previously blown the whistle on KPMG. What's it like for you looking on now as this latest allegations are raised?
Look, I think it's terribly sad for the individual involved. And I think it's, you know, I think it's really indicative of a system that's fundamentally broken when an individual has to throw their life under the train and ultimately has to go to the Senate for its protection to be able to surface really what are very serious allegations about the rigging of audits and the improper access of client information for some of Australia's largest companies. So, I mean, really, I think this shows that there is a major problem, and I think we need to end the destruction of individuals who are, you know, who are brave and are publicly minded, but you know, all I feel is sorrow for this individual because of the disruption that it will have thrown into his life.
For people who haven't gone down this path, this is a path that you've gone down, Brendan. What is it like to take that step and blow the whistle on a major corporate? What is the personal cost of doing that?
Look, the costs are enormous. I mean, the strategies that appear to have been applied in this instance are very similar to those that were applied in my own case. I mean, you surface the reports of unethical conduct. You're very quickly isolated from others in the firm. A series of internal and quasi-external investigations are used. Assertions of legal professional privilege are now being made over those. But, you know, I mean, it's really a playbook of isolating, segregating, discrediting, and forcing the exit of the whistleblower from a firm. They're silenced with legal deeds. And then if the issue still surfaces, that playbook means that they've got precisely the sorts of ammunition that you saw KPMG issue only a few weeks ago, saying that the whistleblower's allegations were groundless and lacked substance. So, I mean, the reality is the Big Four, despite being meant to be the audit watchdogs over corporate misconduct, operate outside the corporation's law themselves, which means there are no whistleblower protections in law. And so, again, I feel very sorry for this individual. I think Australians should be very respectful of what that person's done, because they're stopping problems that ultimately will cost us all through dodgy audits and losses in our superannuation funds, investments and other things.
Brendan, what do these latest allegations against KPMG and their response to the whistleblower and the allegations, what do they say about the culture within some of these firms?
Look, I think the culture in the Big Four is observably sick. We've seen the exit of now two CEOs in 2.5 years disgraced over major ethical breaches. In each case, we've seen a performative internal process of risk management. We need to turn from instances, though. I mean, these are not bad apples, and the Big Four is certainly not an orchard. In my experience, they much more resemble a swamp as an environment. The reason that that's the case is because they are entirely unregulated. They don't need to submit to corporations law. There's no particular duties that bind the CEOs of the firms to good conduct. And we leave them to self-regulate. And on top of that, Australia has globally unique laws that are the subject of my academic research and a public interest case I'm bringing through the Supreme Court. But Australia has globally unique laws that cap liability for the Big Four at $1 million a firm in most instances, about $1,000 a partner. What that means is the upside is unlimited in terms of multi-million dollar salaries and all of the rest, and the downside per partner is less than the cost of a new iPhone. It's a crazy situation. It's one that's going to produce the kind of conduct that we've seen. Why is Australia the epicenter of global Big Four misconduct? It's because we give them globally unique legal protections from risk, and we leave them to self-regulate. No other modern economy does this, and it's no surprise in a thinly capitalised, high-profit environment that the drive is endless profit, regardless of how it's earned.
Brendan, I spoke to Finance Minister Katie Gallagher this week and asked her if the government was reviewing any contracts it might have, as well as its broader relationship with KPMG. This is what she said.
Well, we are deeply concerned by the allegations that have been made about KPMG, and I've had several meetings with the Department of Finance over this. I know they have met with KPMG as well. Some of the concerns that have been raised don't relate to a contract with the government, but we do have arrangements with them. We've put in place a whole range of new, like a supplier code of conduct, new arrangements post the PwC issue that was raised. And, we are absolutely firm on making sure that suppliers with government have the highest ethical standards. If they don't, we will respond to that.
What action do you think the government should take, Brendan?
Look, I mean, I think it's fairly conceptually simple. I mean, Katie Gallagher, as the Minister for Finance, could fix part of the incentive problem immediately simply by signing a letter that removes the recognition of the State Professional Standard Acts out of the Competition and Consumer Act and other federal statutes. That would remove the capped liability, at least in the federal jurisdiction, and all of a sudden partners' houses would be on the line against the costs of misconduct. So that's the first one. The second one is we keep saying that we have a real problem in regulating the Big Four, that they're an unusual structure and everything else. If we think about it rationally, we already have rules that are designed to govern very large organisations that are seeking profit, and that's called the Corporations Law. There's no reason to leave the Big Four in their current state as general partnerships with special exemptions from the Corporations Law. Any other ordinary group of individuals of more than 20 that are conducting a business, they have to become corporations. They have to be regulated under the Corporations Law. And more particularly, they have to pay both Commonwealth corporate income tax and state payroll taxes. That's not the case for the Big Four. They get an enormous leg up because they avoid corporate tax altogether. They avoid state payroll taxes over partner distributions, and they compete largely against corporations who are bound by laws and taxes that don't apply. So there's competition issues here, there's conduct issues, but there's most particularly a systemic risk that's being created by egregiously bad advice to governments justifying things like robo-debt, Snowy 2.0 and all of the rest. And we're seeing egregious conduct in terms of both audits and audit quality has been a consistent problem. So this is really a national problem. Last time we saw a lot of huffing and puffing by political leaders, but not much by, or not anything in terms of regulatory and legislative change. I think we can all see there's a problem. It bubbles up every 2 years and it's very serious. So I think this needs to go on the political agenda with some level of momentum.
Brendan Lyon, a former KPMG partner and a former whistleblower on a separate issue. Well, you heard there from Katie Gallagher, the government minister, who we spoke to during the week. Today, we also heard from Daniel Molino. He is the assistant treasurer and the minister for financial services in the federal government. And while interviewing him on a separate story, Sally made sure to ask him about this. And she played him part of what Brendan Lyon had to say.
There are calls in the parliament to ban the firm from all government contracting work. Is that something the government is considering?
Well, so I understand that Minister Gallagher, the Minister for Finance, has indicated that there is a broad-based inquiry or examination of the use of outsourcing, and that this would clearly inform that. And that's appropriate because some of the behaviour looks like it was highly inappropriate here. There's also other work which I'm undertaking around whistleblower activity in corporate and taxation, in the corporate and taxation realms, which again will be very relevant to the kinds of activity which has been alleged.
What do you think about KPMG having a contract for whistleblower service for clients, including the Reserve Bank?
So I think the government will be examining all of the KPMG contracts in place, is my understanding. There's also briefing coming up from the department, from Treasury to me, in relation to whistleblower activity in light of this. But as I mentioned, I've recently put out a discussion paper seeking views from stakeholders on whether we need to strengthen our whistleblower arrangements. That went out a couple of weeks ago with views sought by the end of July.
Yesterday, we spoke to former KPMG partner and whistleblower, now academic, Brendan Lyon. Let's take a listen to what he said.
They are entirely unregulated. They don't need to submit to corporations law. There's no particular duties that bind the CEOs of the firms to good conduct. And we leave them to self-regulate. And on top of that, Australia has globally unique laws that cap liability for the Big Four at $1 million a firm in most instances, about $1,000 a partner. What that means is the upside is unlimited in terms of multi-million dollar salaries and all of the rest, and the downside per partner is less than the cost of a new iPhone.
Do you think that needs to change?
Well, I think there are a set of complicated issues. And as I indicated, one of the issues in play here is the interaction between the powers of ASIC under the corporations law with partnerships. And so that's something that we will examine as part of the consultation. I think that there was already a process underway, but the allegations against KPMG have just heightened the urgency of this.
And that is the Minister for Financial Services in the Federal Government, also the Assistant Treasurer, Daniel Molino. So what is the response to all of this from governments and entities engaged with KPMG? As you heard mentioned there, the Reserve Bank has been using KPMG's audit and whistleblower hotline services. The RBA governor this week decided to distance the bank from the firm. Our business and economics correspondent, Carrington Clark, gave us a sense of the irony of the situation and also what questions some of the KPMG partners could be asked in coming weeks.
This is the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Corporations and Financial Services. So they will be drilling down with not only the now ousted CEO, but also a range of other partners. And I guess fundamentally the question is, how was there a culture at your organisation that allowed members, partners, to misuse confidential information from clients in order to try to gain new business from other clients? Now, at the moment, KPMG has admitted that they did not treat a whistleblower complaint with the seriousness that it should have. And it was really only because we had a member of the Senate speak in under parliamentary privilege about this that we even know about this scandal, which has obviously had such major impacts on the reputation of KPMG and particularly its audit function. But also whether or not we need to be looking at a system, as the Greens have suggested, where you're hiving off audit function from the rest of these consultancy businesses. Now, there is a major question about whether or not that would have even made a difference in this particular scandal. But I think there are going to be real pointed questions to the partners about exactly what KPMG did, who knew what when, and what they're doing to try to deal with this. Now, it has already had an impact on its business. Part of the reason we know about some of what happened with KPMG is because of Lendlease, which provided documentation to the Parliament saying that its confidential information was accessed inappropriately and it's looking to take its business elsewhere away from KPMG. But we have the irony of KPMG was providing whistleblower services for the Reserve Bank of Australia. Governor Michelle Bullock says that they're going to be putting that out to tender and it's unlikely KPMG will receive that contract again. Now, apparently the contract was only worth about $10,000, but it is quite ironic, isn't it, that they were providing the service given what we now know about the way they were handling it. But this really goes to the heart of the audit process in Australia. These people are supposed to be beyond reproach. This is completely based on trust and the idea that they are using their access to information in order to go after other business obviously destroys the trust that organisations or governments can have in them to perform that role. And we know that state governments in particular have already asked them for assurances that their information hasn't been misused. And the government apparently is looking at the KPMG's contracts across the board to see whether or not they are appropriate.
And that is Carrington Clark there, ending today's episode of The Breakfast Wrap, looking at this issue of KPMG. And you can catch more of his coverage of this on his ABC Business Daily podcast. He's done an episode on the scandal at KPMG. Well, thank you so much for listening to us right across the week, covering international news and federal politics and stories all around the country, and also this special episode looking at KPMG. All of the interviews were done by Sally Sara, produced by the Radio National Breakfast team, and our executive producer is Eleni Soltis. Oscar Coleman has produced The Breakfast Wrap right across the week, and I'm Luke Sidham Dundon. Have a good weekend. We'll be back in your ears on Monday.
Some days it's interest rates, some days it's the share market, some days it's the price at the servo. But the business story is never just business. I'm Carrington Clark, host of ABC Business Daily.
From Monday to Thursday, I'm joined by the ABC's business reporters to break down the biggest stories in business, finance, and the economy. And on Fridays, Alan Kohler jumps in the chair for That's Business, sitting down with industry leaders, movers and shakers, CEOs and founders to talk to the people leading and building the economy. All in the same ABC Business Daily feed. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.